Well, hello, y'all. It is time to breathe again on the latest OFA Sports webcast. Formerly Breath of Fresh Air. Still stands for Breath of Fresh Air, of course, but it is OFA Sports. And I am your host, Charles Taylor, and we are streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So let's jump into it. Again, it is me, just Charles for tonight. Patrick Brackett is out, but he will be back next week. So let's jump into college football. And we're going to talk about a few of the games that stuck out last week. Where do we start? I actually got a list written down here. So we'll get to the results of the college football pick challenge. We had brought back starting last week, and we'll get into the results of those. And I will pick a few games for next week and talk about those and give scores for those. Don't know if we're going to play the challenge, but I guess it depends on if Patrick is able to see this webcast, and then he can send the picks and his scores to me. But if not, then we won't count them. But for documentation purposes, I'll go ahead and give my scores here. And if he is able to play, then we'll go ahead and incorporate them into the scores. But starting with last week's games that stood out, there wasn't a whole bunch of surprises. I think Kansas State looked really impressive last week in beating Arizona 31-7. Of course, that was one of the games we thought, Patrick and I thought, would be kind of close, at least for the first half. But Kansas State would start to assert themselves with the physicality, and that's what they did. The score was 31-7. I mean, Kansas State looked pretty strong, pretty dominant, announcing they will be a factor in that Big 12 conference race. And we both thought they would be. Kansas State is always solid, no matter what the year is and no matter who the coach is. They always seem to just be a team that has to be beaten, meaning you're not going to get anything easy from them. They're going to make you earn every single thing on that field, and you have to be fundamentally sound to beat them. So a lot of the same is being seen from Kansas State as we begin this season and we start to get into conference play. But expect Kansas State to be a factor in that race. And if they were to win the conference, I don't think anybody would be surprised to see that, because they have been good for a lot of years. And from their performance against Arizona, looks like they're going to continue to be a factor. LSU and South Carolina. So this was a game Patrick and I disagreed on. He had South Carolina winning. I had LSU winning. And LSU was able to pull that out, 36-33. South Carolina, they had their chances. They were up 24-10 in the first half. Give LSU credit for finding a way to scrap and get back into the game and ultimately win it. South Carolina had a couple of penalties that came back to haunt them, and they had a chance to hit a game-tying field goal that would have sent the game to overtime, but it just skirted over to the left, and LSU was able to get a gutty win in the Southeast Conference on the road. And we know wins are tough to come by on the road in these hostile environments in the SEC, but LSU was able to find a way to come back and keep the hopes alive for a SEC conference championship berth. We'll see if they're able to build off of this, but gutty win for LSU. Notre Dame handled business against Purdue 66-7. So looks like they were really, really, really upset off of the loss to Northern Illinois at home, and they took all their frustrations out on Purdue. But That's what you're supposed to do if you're Notre Dame. If you were a favorite, you need to go in there, put the hammer down, don't give teams any type of hope. Just take them out while you got them down and continue to keep the pedal on the gas and roll out to a huge victory. So that's what they did, 66-7. Props on them for taking care of their business. Alabama, same thing against Wisconsin. You saw them just start to pull away. You could see the talent, the explosiveness they have on offense, and their defense is looking pretty strong as well. So I think this win, if you didn't already think so, would show Alabama is ready to roll. They're going to be a factor under Kalen DeBoer. I know in losing Nick Saban, you're losing a Hall of Fame coach, the best coach in college football ever, I guess, depending on how you feel about Paul Bear Bryant from back in the day. But Alabama has not lost any talent. They can still reload, and they are just as dangerous as any other team that may be mentioned on that top tier. Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, more on Georgia in a little bit. But Alabama is announcing they're going to be pretty strong. And then a couple of the other games we had picked, A&M in Florida, Texas A&M in Florida. Give Texas A&M credit. Now, Patrick and I both thought Florida was going to win this game with it being played in the swamp in Gainesville. But A&M just took that game over from the start. They were up 20-0 at halftime, and they were able to ride that momentum out to a 33-20 victory. So give A&M a lot of credit for going down to the swamp, winning that game, and steadying the ship a little bit. I mean, they did have the win against McNeese the week before, but going down, getting into conference play, getting into conference play and beating the Gators, nice way to begin as you start to navigate through the ruggedness of the SEC. As for Florida, it looks really, really bad. Billy Napier looks like he's on the hot seat. And if you look at Florida's schedule going forward, you're really wondering where those wins can come from because they will see they will see Tennessee, they will see Texas, they will see Kentucky, they will see LSU, Ole Miss. I mean, it is a tough, tough schedule to navigate through for Florida, and it's hard to see where wins are going to come from. I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Napier is gone before the season is out, unfortunately. And that's life in the SEC, and that's life in a lot of conferences these days, but definitely in the SEC. Is just simply put, if you can't win at a high level, or at least a somewhat high level, you're not going to be there long. And this has just been a tough time for the Gators, and Billy Napier will probably be the guy who's going to be taken out. Done no favors by the schedule, but it doesn't look good for him. And then the final game we had talked about was Tulane and Oklahoma. So this is another one Patrick and I disagreed on, and I got this one right too because he thought Tulane would win. And I can understand where he would have thought Tulane could win this game. Tulane is a team that has played your power four conferences tough. But Oklahoma looked like they got some offense together, jumped out to a big lead. Tulane made a run, but the sheer numbers and the depth of Oklahoma took over. So they were able to win that game 34-19. And now they get ready for Tennessee. More on that game in a minute as well for the preview. But give Oklahoma for saving off the run. Again, Tulane is a tough team, a really good team coming out from your group of five conferences, but Oklahoma just had too much depth. So to wrap up the review, let's go to our graphic, bringing that back. And what you have here is the results from last week's Pick'em Challenge, our college football Pick'em Challenge. Now, remember, Patrick won last year, beat me out by a game. So to start off this year, you can see he was 3-3, losing the picks for Oklahoma and Tulane, or he had Tulane. LSU and South Carolina, he had South Carolina. And both of us missed A&M in Florida. So that's where his three losses come from. And the three wins were Kansas State beating Arizona, Notre Dame beating Purdue, and Alabama beating Wisconsin. There you see my picks on to the right side. And the one I missed, of course, was A&M in Florida. But I was able to get those other ones right. Of course, you know I can't stand picking Texas North, as we call them, or Oklahoma, but it just felt they had just a little bit too much for Tulane. So that is the record for or after this first week, which was the week three games. And as we move on to week four, I will talk about six games to go through, and I'll pick the scores for that. Once again, with Patrick being out, we'll see if he is able to get back to me with his picks and scores. If he's not able to, then we won't count this week toward any of the standings or our college football Pick'em Challenge. So let's get into the six games that we are looking to for week four. And I mean, it's an interesting schedule. I'll start with the Friday night game between Illinois and Nebraska. So these are two teams in the Big Ten who have had good starts and a couple of solid victories. Illinois was able to beat Kansas on non-conference play. And Nebraska defeated Colorado. Now, depending on how you feel about Kansas and Colorado, they may or may not be huge wins on the landscape of college football. But Kansas and Colorado were both looked at as teams that could potentially be a dark horse in the Big 12. Illinois and Nebraska coming over from the Big Ten and being able to knock those two teams off might have started their own dark horse campaign. So here both of them are sitting at 3-0 coming into this Friday night game in Lincoln. I just simply think because this game is being played in Lincoln, I will pick Nebraska to win. I think it will be a tough game. I think it'll be a pretty physical game. I think it will be a little bit lower scoring, but I think Nebraska will be able to make enough offensive plays to pull this game out. So I got this being a 24-17 style game. I just think it'll be more of a cancel out defensively. I think there will be I think points will be tough to come by. And I can see it. Points will be tough to come by. There you go. Can't talk right now. I think Nebraska will be able to make a few plays, a few more offensive plays, or maybe it's not an offensive play. It could be a special teams play. Could be a turnover. But I think this will be one of those games that's going to be old school. It's going to be tough. Lots of running, probably more running than what we're used to in today's football age. But I think just a difference of a few plays will put Nebraska over the top. So I got them winning 24-17 on a Friday night in that stadium. Looks like that crowd is back to what we saw late 90s, early 2000s. It's been a long time since we could talk about Nebraska on a national scale like this. But it looks like Matt Rhule has them playing pretty well down there in Lincoln. and they're coming. And I think they can make some noise in the Big Ten. Now, are they going to win the Big Ten? Will they be in the conference championship game? I'm not sure about that yet. I would still say Ohio State and Oregon and maybe even Michigan, depending on how they're able to adjust to all the people they lost last year. But Nebraska can make some noise. And I think they continue on that path with a win against Illinois. 24-17 is my final score for that. For Saturday's games, I think an interesting game is NC State and Clemson over in the ACC. Now, Clemson, a lot of people have just kind of forgot about Clemson. They got whooped by Georgia in the first week of the season. And again, more on Georgia in a minute. But they got whooped in the first week of the season by Georgia, 34-3. And a lot of people just said, oh, well, Clemson's not going to do anything. They're still going to be a factor in the ACC. It looks like it's up for grabs. A lot of people, based off of what we've seen in the last few weeks, they would say Miami looks good to be the team to finally come through. Can it, for people to say, oh, the U is back, the U is back. Well, there's a long way to go when it comes to that. So let's slow our rolls there. But Clemson will still be a factor in this race. They still have a lot of talent there. Dabo Sweeney is still a good coach, even though it looks like he's wanting to stay in the Stone Age when it comes to dealing with NIL and the transfer portal. But there's still a lot of talent there in Clemson, and they will play an NC State team who is still trying to recover. I know they won last week, but I think that they play Louisiana or Louisiana Tech. It was one or the other, but I think they were able to get that win as they go visit Death Valley. They got destroyed. Talking about the Wolfpack, they got destroyed. Just like Clemson got destroyed by Georgia, NC State got destroyed by Tennessee on a neutral site game in Charlotte, the Duke's Mayo Classic. And that score was 51-10. It got away fast from them in that game. They were driving. It was 10-3, and then a pick six happened, and that game was over almost before halftime after that happened. But they're going to try to see if they can get things together in Death Valley. I just don't think they have enough offensive firepower to beat Clemson. I think Kate Klubnik, pretty similar to what I said about the Illinois-Nebraska game, I think they'll be able to make enough plays on offense, and their defense I see them kind of choking NC State out. I got a solid win for Clemson here. I'll go 26-13. I think it'll be pretty close at the beginning. But as the game goes along, I just think the depth and what Clemson has on their side of the ball, both sides of the ball, will just prove to be too much for NC State. 26-13, Clemson in that game, and they continue to be a factor in the ACC. Nobody's really running away with the ACC. Florida State apparently is going to lose every single game this year, and it's bad. I mean, Florida State went from a national championship contender last year to looking like the college version of the Detroit Lions teams back in the day, like late 2000s, early 2010s, when fans are showing up with paper bags on their heads. It's really, really rough in Tallahassee right now. And it just fell apart in a hurry for the Seminoles. Now, all of a sudden, Mike Norvell is on the hot seat. Between that, Pittsburgh might be a team to mess with in the conference. Georgia Tech, Louisville. I mean, there's still some good teams in there. But Clemson, there's no reason to think Clemson can't beat any of those teams. So we'll see how everything turns out. But I think Clemson will continue to show they shouldn't be ignored when it comes to the hierarchy of the ACC. Speaking of that hierarchy, I had mentioned Miami. And Miami has an interesting game themselves with South Florida. Did I get the final score for Clemson? Yeah, 26-13. If I didn't get that in, Clemson winning over NC State. Miami and South Florida. So we saw South Florida play Alabama pretty tough a couple of weeks ago. Well, a week and a half ago, before seeing Bama pull away in the second or in the fourth quarter. So, excuse me. They were hanging with Alabama pretty well. The defense was aggressive. They were coming after Jalen Milroe, getting sacks, getting pressures on them. They just couldn't score a whole bunch. And again, it's tough to score on that Alabama defense. I think they're going to give Miami a whole lot of problems in this game. I think they have the defensive prowess to get after Cam Ward, who has looked like a guy. People may want to put him up for the Heisman. I have heard him in Heisman talks, and he has looked good. I'd say, I mean, the competition hasn't been that great. I mean, they did go to the Swamp and beat Florida, but we talked about the problems Florida has. And then they've had a win. I think they beat Ball State 62-0. So I think this will be more of a test to see what Miami can do, because Cam Ward is facing a legit defense over there in South Florida. And having said that, you have to be able to score a little bit. And that's where I tend to think South Florida is going to struggle. Because of their defense, I think they will keep things close. But in the fourth quarter, the struggles on offense may come back to haunt them. And I will pick you. But I think it'll be close. I think it'll be something, we'll go 27-20 for that final score. Again, South Florida is going to be ready to go. The game is being played in Tampa. When you have those in-state rivalries, there's always a little bit extra. You see it all the time from my home state of Texas, and it's not anything different in Florida. A lot of those players have played with or against each other in high school, and the players who go to those schools like South Florida, Central Florida, Florida Atlantic, they feel slighted if they didn't get to go to one of the three big schools in Florida, which is Miami, Florida State, and Florida. So anytime those other teams, like the South Florida, gets to play a team like Miami, it's going to be a little bit extra there. So if Miami is not careful, they can lose this game. I think they'll be able to make enough plays, though, and they will win. 27-20 is the score I'm going for with that. Let's see. That's three games down. Three to go. Let's see. I talked about Illinois, Nebraska, NC State, and Clemson, Miami, South Florida. Let's go over to Utah and Oklahoma State. This game is huge because these are two of the favorites to win the Big 12. Of course, Utah is coming over from the Pac-12. Oklahoma State has been a team that has been amongst the top in the Big 12 for a lot of years. They were in the Big 12 championship game last year, losing to Texas before, of course, Texas went over to the SEC. And they will play Utah in Stillwater. Utah's quarterback situation, we know what Cam Rising can do, but is he going to stay healthy? That is the issue for him. If he can't, the quarterback play has shown to be inconsistent at best. Playing in Stillwater, Oklahoma State is just, they're just one of those teams. They just they hang around. It doesn't look pretty all the time. As a matter of fact, it could look pretty ugly at times, but they just seem to hang around and make that play to pull the game out. With this game being in Stillwater, that's what's having me give Oklahoma State the nod. It wouldn't surprise me if Utah wins at all. Utah is very solid. We know what they're bringing with head coach Kyle Whittingham. They're always tough, always something to deal with for any team that will play them. Then you have to play 60 minutes to beat them. I think with Mike Gundy there, that is the experience in that conference, being in that conference, I give Oklahoma State the nod here. Just like what I was saying about Miami and South Florida, I think the defenses will find a way to keep this game lower scoring. I would be surprised if it does get into the high 30s or low 40s. But I think it can get to the high 20s and low 30s. Good defense, good offense, and it comes down to the fourth quarter. But I'll give K-State the nod. I'm going 30-27 for this final score. Again, would not surprise me if Utah is able to pull this game out, as solid as they are. But, I'm going Mike Gundy and the Pokes here to win at home in Stillwater. Two more games to cover. Let's go to Ann Arbor, and we have Michigan playing USC. This is one of those cross matchups, those cross-country matchups that is being introduced with the evolution of the Big Ten Conference, where you have 18 teams instead of 10. We've more than documented their counting problem. But this is going to be interesting. It's going to be contrasting styles. This will be a test to see just how ready is USC for the physical style of play they're going to see from Michigan. Now, USC, to their credit, they beat LSU in the first week of the season, and they actually looked like they could play a little bit of defense under Lincoln Riley. So if that is the USC team you're going to see, maybe, just maybe, USC could factor into the power structure that is in the Big Ten Conference. And what better way to do that than to defeat the conference champs and the defending national champs. Now, again, obviously Michigan is not the same team they were last year, losing a lot of talent from that squad, and they did not look good at all against Texas a week and a half ago. I mean, Texas looked faster, they looked stronger, and they just came up to Ann Arbor, we came up to Ann Arbor and dominated that game. So I don't think USC is on the level of Texas, and I think Michigan is starting to figure some things out. They made a quarterback change, and Alex OG, I think his name is. Correct me if I'm wrong on that name. If he can come in, he can kind of steady the ship a little bit. I want to see how he throws the ball. When we played him a week and a half ago, he was the running quarterback and he didn't throw the ball at all. So obviously if he's going to be starting, he's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. I do think if he is able to get some protection, you can throw on USC. I think their defense has looked improved. I don't think they're that improved yet. I think they're a little bit better from what they've shown, because if you can keep LSU's defense or offense to 20 points, like they did in that first game of the season in Las Vegas, then maybe there is something to be said for their defense. But this is a different test, and they're going to have to really stand up to the running game that Michigan is going to bring. And that's where I think they're going to have a little bit of an issue, standing up for four quarters to the constant pound the ball that Michigan has. This is one of those classic styles make fights and matchups make the difference. With that offensive line Michigan has, I think they'll continuously wear down USC. I think their defense will be good enough to get after USC's quarterback and get after their offense. And it will be a Michigan win. I think that will be a – I think Michigan will be able to score a little bit on that USC defense. Going 30-23 for that final score. And I think they'll have a pick six as well. Some sort of a turnover that happens. Let me look at something real quick. I'm over here. I'm doing a little bit of research here. So hold back for a little bit. Just wanted to see something here with USC. Just to make sure I have, there we go. I couldn't think of his name. Miller Moss, there we go, the USC quarterback. So I think Michigan will be able to get after him and make things a little bit uncomfortable, force a couple of turnovers. I just think it'll be a complete game for Michigan, finding a way to run the football. They'll make enough plays in the passing game, and they'll be able to force a couple of turnovers on defense or maybe a special teams, and they'll find a way to win this game at home. 30-23 is what I'm going for. Finally, let's go back to Norman and look at the game with Oklahoma and Tennessee. First true SEC game coming up for Oklahoma here. They play Temple, Houston, and Tulane. This is the first true SEC game for the Sooners. It will be at home against Tennessee. Going into the game against Tulane, we had talked about a few of the offensive issues. It looked like they were able to figure some things out against Tulane and put up 34 points. This Tennessee team, to me, is rolling. I mean, they are rolling so far. Albeit not the best competition. We talked about the game against NC State. They had 65 points up. I know it's Kent State they were playing. They had 65 points up on them at halftime. Tennessee looks strong, and I think they're going to come into Norman and I think they're going to thump the Sooners. I sure do. I think they are going to put it on Oklahoma in this game. Now, score, I'm not for sure with the score. I will have a score, of course. I'm not for sure if it will be a thumping as much as I'm saying it is. But I can see Tennessee coming in and winning pretty solidly in this game. I'm talking by double-digit points. I just said Oklahoma got their offensive issues a little bit fixed against Tulane, but the Tulane defense is not like what they're gonna see with Tennessee, and that is an improvement with Tennessee because normally it has been a question of whether or not they can come up with enough offense to beat the better teams. I don't know if maybe things don't look as good as Tennessee goes through their schedule, but from the looks of things, their defense looks like they are very complementary to the offense. And if you can get just a little bit of defense with the firepower that Josh Heupel is going to have on offense, it's going to be tough. Now, I will say you have two of the best minds matching up against each other. Josh Heupel, of course, a brilliant offensive mind, going against Brent Venables, who is one of the best defensive minds in football. So that chess match is going to be really interesting between those two coaches. And I think it's a matchup the offensive guy wins in this case. So I'm going with Josh Heupel. I'm going with Tennessee to continue rolling. I'll go 34-24 for that final score. Of course, like, did you think I was actually going to pick Texas North 2 weeks in a row? Ugh, no. I think Oklahoma's going to have some problems with Tennessee. And, of course, if I'm wrong, come at me, Oklahoma fans. I know y'all would be all too willing to go ahead and just throw horns down. It's really funny how Oklahoma is horns down all the time, even when they're playing Temple. It's really funny to me. But that's who I have winning that game. Tennessee, I have them beating Oklahoma 34-24. So for those winners, again, I have Tennessee beating Oklahoma. I have Michigan beating USC. I have Oklahoma State beating Utah. I have Miami beating South Florida. I have Clemson beating NC State. And I have Nebraska beating Illinois. Please leave your comments and your thoughts. And if you want to get involved in the Pick'em Challenge, you let us know. And we will be sure to have that discussion. It's always great to talk college football and to see what the public thinks. Real quick, before I get into the NFL. Georgia. So they had a game against Kentucky, and Kentucky played them tough. They almost beat Georgia, coming within a point. Georgia was able to get out of Lexington with a 13-12 win. And what I heard from a lot of the Georgia fans is, oh my God, Georgia looks so bad. I can't believe we struggled against Kentucky. And I get it. I understand. Kentucky the week before got blown out by South Carolina at home. But in talking to Patrick over the years about Georgia's games with Kentucky, this is always a matchup that worries him because Kentucky just seems to match up well with Georgia, and Georgia just has issues. They have problems with them. Their styles are pretty similar. They want to run the football. They want to be physical on defense, and they just seem to do enough to give Georgia fits. Now, even though Georgia struggled in this game, Bulldogs fans, stop with the worry, all right? That Georgia is fine. They're okay. There's no reason to worry about them. You're not going to blow out every team you play. There's going to be times when you're going through the season, especially if you're a championship team and you have championship aspirations, where you're going to have some games where you just don't have your best stuff and you have to find a way to just grind it out and win the game. I mean, there was a lot for that I've seen from Georgia fans. A lot of my best friends are Georgia fans. Hell, Patrick's aunt, huge Georgia fan too. And they were just expressing a lot of panic. Don't worry. It's okay. I think Kirby Smart will get into them, and they have a bye week coming up before that huge game in Tuscaloosa against the Crimson Tide. So we will find out a lot more about Georgia there, but there's no reason to panic and worry about Georgia right now. No reason. They'll be all right, and we'll see if I pick them against Alabama. We'll see when it gets there. Georgia's fine. There's no reason to worry about Georgia. And even if they do lose to Alabama, I still think Georgia will be a factor in the national championship race. All right, moving on to the NFL. So interesting couple of weeks in the league. Let's start here. How about the Las Vegas Raiders going into Baltimore and defeating the Ravens 26-23? If you're Baltimore, you have to find a way to finish that game. You cannot lose that game. You had the Raiders down, and regardless of whatever situation, you have to put that game away. Give the Raiders credit, though. They continued to play, continued to push. They got stops. They were able to win on a last-second field goal. So, good on the Raiders, and now they're sitting at 1-1. The Ravens, 0-2 right now. Not a good omen, of course, being 0-2, but I'm not really worried about the Ravens yet. I think they'll get it together. Also, how about the Packers beating the Colts with Malik Willis at quarterback? Malik Willis actually looked pretty decent as a quarterback. And I always thought he could look decent. He just needed an opportunity. I'm not saying there's any QB controversies here. When Jordan Love's ready to come back, he'll be back. But at least Malik Willis showed he can play if he's given an opportunity. And being able to put together a game plan where they ran the ball pretty well, they gave him some balance. And they were able to hold off the Colts 16-10. A good win for the Packers there. great win for the New Orleans Saints, blowing out the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, y'all already know I'm not going to say much about the Cowboys ever. Like, there's no reason to. Everybody else can have that. All the talking heads, all the networks, they can continue to sip that Dallas Cowboy Kool-Aid. I've seen it way too often, being a person who has lived in Dallas-Fort Worth for over a decade, growing up in Texas, down in San Antonio. I have been surrounded and engrossed in the Dallas Cowboy Kool-Aid. And I can tell you that's a flavor I'm not really trying to drink anymore. So I'll leave that up to them. I'm just going to talk about the Saints and how they blew out the Cowboys. And look, the Saints have been rolling. They've played well these first couple of weeks. We'll see if they're able to keep it up. But it looks like that offense is going to be a problem with Derek Carr leading the way. Alvin Kamara is looking like peak Alvin Kamara, like about 4 or 5 years ago, scoring 4 touchdowns against the overrated Cowboys defense. But great win for the Saints, and another great win for the Minnesota Vikings. They're also, like the Saints, are sitting at 2-0 as they beat my team, the San Francisco 49ers, 23-17. I don't know what it is about Minnesota, but the 49ers can never win in Minnesota, ever. I don't remember the last time they won in Minnesota. It's just one of those places no matter what the year is, the 49ers struggle to win at. And in this game, what was concerning more about this game than anything is that Minnesota was more physical than the 49ers. Normally, it's the 49ers who want to be the more physical team, or who will prove to be the more physical team in a lot of their matchups. But Minnesota was definitely that. They took the fight to them, getting that huge 97-yard touchdown pass from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson, put that game on skates for the 49ers, put them down 10-0, and they were fighting an uphill battle. And the Vikings defense was able to get good pressure on Brock Purdy. And just said, they took the fight to the 49ers. And now everything's just kind of an attrition war. You know, the 49ers they're going to be without Christian McCaffrey, the running back, for a little bit. And now Debo Samuel, the receiver, is going to be out for a couple of weeks. So it is not the most ideal thing right now for the 49ers, but they're just going to have to find a way to get through it. Like I said, I think they'll be okay, but hey, Minnesota, give them credit. You have a couple of other games. The Texans playing the Bears. The Texans had a really good defensive performance, getting after Caleb Williams and hitting him time and time again. So the Texans are going to get that type of defense with their offense. It shows they can win some games that are lower scoring. This is what a lot of people thought you could see from the Texans, and so far they have been as advertised. Tampa Bay beating Detroit in Detroit. Now, a lot of people were calling this an upset. I don't understand why, because these two teams played in the divisional playoff last year, and the game was pretty highly contested. Detroit won the game, I think it was 31-23. But they didn't blow out Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay does have a good team. And Baker Mayfield is looking like a guy who has found a home in Tampa, and he is playing about as well as he did when he was able to take to the Cleveland Browns. He was able to take the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs back in 2020. How's that looking for Cleveland? Ugh. But give Tampa Bay credit for winning that game and a couple of other ones. Atlanta went to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles on Monday night. Saquon Barkley, very critical drop on that third down conversion to where the Eagles had to take that field goal, give the Falcons a chance to steal that game. But I think more than anything, that was bad coaching from Nick Sirianni. You can't continue to put your team in that situation. I understand you want to go for the win, but the Falcons had no timeout. Run the football. And if you don't get it, kick the field goal after that. But at least you take 40, 45 seconds off the clock. And then on top of that, you don't have a minute and a half for the Falcons to just roll down the field on that prevent defense you played. So I think that loss, just like what Dan Campbell said, he said the loss was totally on him. The coach for the Lions said that loss was totally on him. And I think this loss for the Eagles is totally on Nick Sirianni as well. That was a horrible, horrible job. And the Chiefs just continuing to be the Chiefs. Just finding a way to get a win in the clutch, hang in there. Patrick Mahomes did not have his best performance at all. But they were able to get a drive together and get into field goal range, and Bucker hit a 51-yarder, and they beat the Bengals 26-25. They said this is the Chiefs just being the Chiefs. They find a way to get wins when they don't have their best stuff, and that is the difference between them and a lot of other teams. When it comes time to make the plays, when it comes time to find that way to get a win, you're going to come out of that on top 9 times out of 10. And it's why they are the 2-time defending Super Bowl champs. And until proven otherwise, I don't really see a team, although that gap is not that big. I mean, it's not like the Chiefs have been blowing everybody out, but that is why you just... it's hard to go against the Chiefs because you know they are going to just find a way to win. We'll talk more about the case with Tua Tagovailoa in a minute, but the Buffalo Bills look strong right now too. They went to Miami, won that Thursday night game 31-10. So looking forward to next week. You have, again, some interesting games here. The Texans and Vikings is the one that sticks out to me. Not just simply because you have two and no teams, but I mean, these teams are right now, they look like, besides the Chiefs, I mean, we talked about how the Chiefs are able to just find a way to make some plays, but the Texans and Vikings right now are playing to their strengths better than most of the other teams I'm seeing in the league right now. The Vikings have been able to provide balance around Sam Darnold, and all he's had to do is just make sure he doesn't mess it up and throw an occasional 97-yard touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson, and they're going to be right there in the games to pull it out at the end if they're there. And the Texans right now, like I mentioned, the game they had against the Bears, they scored 19 points. But they won that game 19-13. And most Texans games since C.J. Stroud has been there, they've been higher scoring than that. So to see that performance from the defense, getting the sacks they did, hitting Caleb Williams like they did, forcing turnovers like they were able to, that is the type of complementary football you were looking for. And both of these teams are playing really good complementary football, meaning they are getting a solid performance from the offense. They are getting solid performances from the defense. And their special teams, be it from the field goal kicking to the coverage on punts, they are getting mats from every aspect of the team. So seeing these teams play each other, I expect it to be tight and close between them as well. And it'll be interesting to see that result. Who comes out on top there? Whoever does, looking pretty good at 3-0 going into week 4. The Chargers and Steelers, that's another one. So this is the home opener for Pittsburgh. They won their first two games in Atlanta and in Denver. They're playing a Chargers team who has won their first two games, of course, against the Raiders and the Carolina Panthers. Look, Pittsburgh, I mean, what can you say? Look, Mike Tomlin just finds a way to keep the team competitive and calls for him to get fired. They're just greatly exaggerated, especially when you haven't had a losing season the whole time you're there. It seems like any quarterback is a plug and play. Right now, it happens to be Justin Fields. But they just find ways to stay in the game. The quarterback doesn't mess it up, and maybe he can make a throw to keep things going. But that Steelers defense is always going to keep you in the game. If you're able to score 20 points, it's just hard to beat the Steelers because they have guys like T.J. Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick on that side of the ball who can make that closing play, and they're just solid. It's just tough to score on the Steelers. So this being the home opener, tough trip. Another cross-country trip for the Chargers. They were in Carolina last week. They'll be in Pittsburgh this week. There's a little bit of jet lag there, but either way, regardless of where they're coming from, it's just always tough to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, especially for the home opener. Let's see. The Ravens and Cowboys, I know people are going to talk about that just simply because you do have the Cowboys there. The Ravens are desperate. They're 0-2 looking for a win. And that's a bad loss. That's a very, very tough loss. They should have beat the Raiders. But the Ravens just right now, they can't get out of their own way. And so they're going to have to shake off those cobwebs. We'll see if they can do that in Dallas. Of course, the Cowboys are coming out of just getting smashed by the Saints. I mean, that was funny to see. And it's the same thing. So y'all already know how I stand with that. Every win for the Cowboys, they're going to the Super Bowl. Every loss, fire everybody. We just need to just look at the truth of the matter and understand this is an overrated team. And it's okay to admit that. And then the Chiefs and Falcons. We see how the Falcons ride out that momentum against the Chiefs. It's a Sunday night game in Atlanta. It's just tough to beat the Chiefs. We know that. So we'll see what Atlanta is bringing. But they need to continue to run Bijan Robinson, give Kirk Cousins play action off of that. Now, we all know Patrick can't stand Kirk Cousins. I'm not the biggest believer in Kirk Cousins either. But when he's effective, he's able to get running to balance that out. If you put Kirk Cousins back there 40, 45 times, that's a recipe for losses. But if he's able to throw the ball 30 times, then you have 20, 25 runs with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, then you'll have a chance. Just keep Patrick Mahomes off the field as much as possible, and you may be able to pull that game out. We'll see. So finally, before we go, Tua Tagovailoa. So we saw him get injured on Thursday night against the Buffalo Bills, suffering another concussion. Everybody wants to call themselves a psychologist. Everybody wants to act like they know what's best for them. Let's wait and see what he decides. He is going to be on the IR, which means he's going to at least miss the next four games. The only thing I'll say is from the man standpoint, from the human being standpoint, because that's what's most important. Everything that's being talked about with football is secondary. But I just hope he makes the decision he feels is best for him and for the family. Whatever he decides to do, whether he decides to play, continue to play, or retire, I support it 100%. You can have that discussion. I've heard a lot of people come out and say he needs to retire, but this is something he's been doing his whole life. He's been playing football pretty much his whole life, for him to just walk away from that, that is a hard, hard thing for him. I can imagine how hard that would be for him. But I think it looks tough. I mean, he's concussion prone at this point, and you don't want him to be at the point where he is not able to have a good quality of life after the game is over, where he's not able to fully enjoy those moments with his family. So it's a scary thing. You don't, you just hope he can continue to progress, and he thinks everything through. It looks like he is thinking everything through. From what I heard, it doesn't appear he has any intentions to retire. It's always a play away in sports. So where he got injured at, running into Damar Hamlin, that's a play that could happen to anybody at any point in any game during the season or in the playoffs or wherever. There was nothing malicious about the hit. This is him trying to get a first down. His team is down. He's looking for to make a play. It was just an unfortunate incident that can happen at any time. Any quarterback could have got a concussion on that play. It just so happened that it was 2-0. With this history of concussions, it doesn't look good, and it brings back a lot of really tough thoughts. Especially from that game in Cincinnati a couple years ago, where we saw him kind of look folded up. So I just hope he makes the best decision for him. And me personally, I would support it either way. I'm not here to try to tell him he needs to retire. He should retire. I'm not here to tell him that he should continue playing either. It's whatever he decides. He's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. And the rest of us would just support it. It's not our life. So why would we get upset about somebody making a life decision on their end? I just support it either way. And I just hope that it is the best for him and everything works out, because I'm not worried about the football player, about the man. And then quickly, the Panthers, they decided to bench Bryce Young, and they're going to start Andy Dalton in their game coming up against the Raiders. The Carolina is, it's a case. I mean, it's been going back and forth. Is Bryce Young the problem? Is the supporting staff the problem? The supporting cast, the team the problem? I just think it's a combination of everything and all of the above. The roster is not good around Bryce Young. I don't think Andy Dalton is going to make much of a difference. You already know what you're getting from Andy Dalton, and he can take you to a certain point, but other than that, it's not really going to lead to anything. I just hope Bryce Young isn't ruined as a quarterback at this point. He does look a little skittish out there. Looking at some of the highlights, he does look like a guy who is not seeing the field completely. He is trying to get the ball out of his hand quick because he's getting hit a lot. But there have been some plays where the offensive line actually had good protection. I don't want to say it's necessarily a Sam Darnold seeing ghost situation, but it might be pretty close to Bryce Young. We'll see if they go back to him at some point. The head coach, Dave Canales, has said that Bryce is the guy. He is the guy. But for right now, maybe he needs to just sit back and observe and see what's going on. And they're going to see what they can get with Andy Dalton. Again, the Carolina Panthers, we weren't looking at them as somebody who is going to be a factor in the Super Bowl race. I just think they are trying to build for the future. And now, just right now, it looks a little bit cloudier on whether or not Bryce Young will be part of that future. So only time will tell, of course. But there's a chance he might be a little bit ruined. He might. Hopefully not, but he might be. It just depends on how he recovers from everything and if he's able to get that chance to show that he has grown and he can progress things a little bit more, or process things a little bit more when he does get back on the field. Because I do think he'll get back onto the field. And I don't think Andy Dalton will keep that job long. All right, so to wrap up, before we head out, we pro epic update. I can tell you, I will be, if everything else goes to plan, I will be on an upcoming episode. So I look forward to being appearing on a Bro Epic episode with Patrick. And he's got his tic-tac-toe challenge that is out on the social media. So continue to check that out if you haven't already. And look out for those future products, if you include it. Yeah. So, and then for Breath of Fresh Air, you know where we're at, which I'll point this out a little bit, as always, but we're expanding. So I'm just glad to be able to expand a little bit on the podcast forums as well. We are on YouTube Music, Apple, and Spotify now. So if you can't watch us, listen to us on those podcasts, wherever you get your podcast at. So with that, that will conclude this edition of the BOFA Sports webcast. That is what I am breathing on for today. Y'all make sure y'all visit the BOFA Sports YouTube channel, smash that subscribe button, and follow the BOFA Facebook page, BOFA Sports. Everybody enjoy the games. Hope y'all enjoyed this show. Have a great rest of the week, and we will be back together. Patrick should be back with me next week. But until then, everybody take care of each other. Love each other, protect each other, and we'll be back next week. I'll take care.